Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, here we are again. Welcome to another episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values can devolve and fall into the pit of BS. We don't want to live there. We want to live in love. We want to live, and I'm calling you to live with me in the command in the journey of love. Love will lift you. There's an old song that says, "Love lifted me." Well, it is true. Love will lift you. Love will lift you high above every challenge that life brings to you, and life will bring you challenges. Let me just take an aside here. Life is not supposed to be lived without challenges. In fact, life isn't life without the challenge of whatever comes day by day. Overcoming those challenges is what life is all about, and being a people of love in the middle of our challenges. There's never a reason why in any challenge we can't love. Love lifted me, and I'm calling you to join me in that elevation, the rising sunshine of love. Today, I again want to invite you into my pastoral study. Come on in, pull up a chair, get comfortable, get a cup of coffee. Make sure that you're at ease with me for a few moments, please. I want to offer you the benefit that I've been blessed with. I am so blessed. My life is so full of so much goodness, and most of that goodness is just the grace of God. Most of that goodness is just the fact that people have treated me so well through my life. And don't misunderstand, I've had a lot of mistreatment, but I have learned that love will always lift me above everything else. We'll talk about that today, but join me in my pastoral study. Let me offer you some counsel to give you, not psychological counsel, even though some of it has some psychological angles to it. But let me give you the counsel of a shepherd in life. I've walked most of my adult life. In fact, I got to say all my adult life, really, in some form of pastoral ministry. I've learned a few things along the way, as you can well imagine. And I've spent a good bit of time with individuals, families, couples, teenagers, children, older folks, giving them whatever benefit of counsel that I've been blessed with through the years. So come on in, sit down, and take some notes, would you? Today I want to talk to you about the priorities of love. There are priorities that will arise most naturally, truly, when love is your aim, when love is your bullseye, when love is your true north, when love sets the compass of what you do, where you go, how you think, and how you will live. I live by the credo that comes from Jesus when he said, "I give you one commandment," not 630, not 10. I don't give you a whole Old Testament now of commandments, even though he made it clear that his commandment would fulfill all of those. He said, "I give you one commandment, love one another as I have loved you. And by this, the whole world will know that I, Jesus, have been sent when you love one another." So I live by that credo. Love is my command. It's my priority. So, and I believe this, love's not only the command, it is equally, if not more so, the reward. Because if I love, if I really, truly, genuinely, authentically love those who are receiving my love, well, they may or may not take that value into their living. That's always a possibility, always. But in either case, the reward of love for me is mine. Because loving, really genuinely loving, heals me first. I hope you hear that. Love is not only the command, it's the reward. There's so few things in this life that come with command and reward all wrapped up in one. They're so intrinsically bound together, you can't separate it. The command is the reward. The reward is the command. So love has this ever-increasing capacity to not only command you forward in all things of life, but it also has this ever-increasing capacity to reward you for being a lover. So today, we're talking about the priorities of love, the command, the credo of love. Here are your priorities for love, all right? You ready? There's four of them, and I'm going to go through them in not necessarily order of importance, but an order that makes sense as they flow from one to the next. The first priority of love is attention. Pay attention. There's a reason why we say pay attention. Attention's going to cost you something. Attention's going to cost you some time. Attention will cost you setting aside your own thoughts and priorities momentarily. Pay attention. The priority of love says go ahead and write the check for attention. Make sure you've got plenty of account in your account for paying attention. Give people your eye contact. Give people your the value of your seeing what they're doing and saying it when they want you to see what they're doing and saying. Does that make sense? You know, not everybody wants you to see everything they're doing, but when you know somebody's looking for your attention, give them every reason to know that they have found it in you. The priority of love is, first of all, attention. Pay attention. Make sure that those who have encountered you will always be able to say that you will give that moment of attention when attention has been asked for. I mean, sometimes attention is specifically asked for, but most of the time it's not. In other words, when somebody says, hey, pay attention, of course, well, that's a specific requirement. But most attention that we give people isn't asked at that kind of stark level. Most attention that we will pay is attention that we just simply need to be aware of. And I'll tell you how you can be aware of it. You can be aware of it by living a life of the priority of love. Sustaining love going forward in life means that attention is the rule of my life. It's the priority of how love operates. I will pay attention. And by the way, pay attention to the small as well as the great. Give a 5-year-old child as much of your attention as you give a 50-year-old supervisor at work. Give a young lady your attention as much as you would give a commanding man. Give the store clerk your attention as much as you would give to the store owner or manager. Treat all people at the same level of love, which means attention. Attention to their details, attention to their needs at any given minute. So that when you live by the priorities of love, people know you have a huge expense account that you spend generously on attention. All right, that's number one in the priorities of love. Number two in the priorities of love, this one really needs, I think, some discussion here. Redefine everything by love. Redefine everything by love. Someone once said, take nothing personally and you'll live an abundant life. Which is to say, when somebody treats you badly, when they treat you badly, it's not personal. It says something about the person who's giving the bad treatment. It means they're hurt. It means they have unresolved anger. It means that they are trapped in their own selfishness, or they haven't discovered love. So take nothing personally. When somebody is rude and curt, when somebody brushes you off, that's not because they woke up that morning with your name on their mind and they decided, oh, I'm going to give them rude and curt behavior. It means that that's how they have registered their life, not you. They've registered life on that level, knowing that they've only learned that much. You know, love will say, I can't afford to take everything personally. And in fact, the only priority I can afford in love is to redefine everything. Redefining all things as love would command or demand it. A psychologist by the name of Gordon Wheeler one time explained this about grief as a matter of how to redefine everything. Gordon Wheeler said that grief is the reminder of the depth of our love. So without love, there would be no grief. So when we feel our grief, uncomfortable and aching as it may be, it is actually a reminder of the beauty of that love now lost. You hear that? That's what I mean by redefining everything. Grief is really a reminder of love. Grief says, I've loved deeply. Grief says, I've had the grand opportunity to love profoundly. And sure, it hurts. Sure, grief is a difficult, even miserable at times, a challenge for all of us. But when we know that we can redefine everything by love, even grief, the darkest challenge in human life, grief can be a reminder. I've had the beautiful opportunity to love deeply. I have loved and been loved. I've not only had the command of love, but I've had the reward of love. And grief just taps you on the shoulder and says, this hurts because love was real. And congratulations on arising to the beauty of love. Congratulations on being a lover in this life. In this one and only life, you loved. And you loved deeply enough that you opened yourself to the possibility that losing the object of that love would cause deep grief. In fact, I would say grief that is profound is the measure of the profound nature of love. So, first of all, the priorities of love, first of all, is attention. Pay attention. Second of all, redefine everything by love. You know, and that may take time. I guess I should say that. Don't expect yourself to be able to have an instantaneous ability to do that. Just carry on and put some things on a note paper or a notepad, or I have a couple of little notebooks I keep at the ready. I'll write some questions to see if I can find an answer to it later. Redefine everything. Take nothing personally, but redefine everything through the priorities of love. Third, now this one gets a little tricky, and I've covered this some in months gone by, and that is the priority of love will give you the permission to build happy boundaries. Now think about that. Happy boundaries. What's a happy boundary? Well, a happy boundary means, and quite honestly, a happy boundary means I'm going to do what it takes to keep me happy. I'm just going to guard my happiness. I'm going to guard it not with selfishness in mind, but with love in mind. Because I know I'm going to have a busy day, for instance. I'm going to make sure that I prioritize my emotions. I'm not going to give them all away all at once. I'm going to sustain them so that, like a runner sustains a good pace in their run. So if I run a mile, I can only run so fast in order to finish that mile. Or if I'm going to run 10 miles, I've got to really know what my boundaries are in how I run a 10-mile race. Now, having said that, when we have the priorities of love, it's important to build happy boundaries. What can I do at any given minute without overspending my love in a way that leaves me with no energy for the next challenge? I had an office administrator one time who, jolly, good, giving heart. This person was so in tune with people's needs. And one time I was in my office and I heard this office administrator answering the phone. And one after another, she was answering the phone with just this, oh my gosh, this effusive, abundant love and giving. And she was just pouring it out as just rich. It really was fun to listen to. But at a certain point, I recognized that I was going to have to sit down and have a challenge for her to manage. And I told her this. I said, you know, when people come into an emergency room, for instance, when there's a rush of, say, a city has had some terrible catastrophe, and several patients come to a hospital at one given time, doctors have to triage. You know what that is, right? A triage means I'm going to look at this patient and say, okay, that's a broken arm. You're not about to die. I'll get back to you in 10 or 15 minutes, maybe an hour. But triage says, okay, over here is a broken arm, but way over here on this other side of the emergency room, there's somebody bleeding badly. I have to give them full attention right now. I can't afford to spend time on a broken arm while somebody across the room is bleeding badly. So even though the person bleeding badly may have come in They didn't come in first. Maybe the broken arm came in first. Well, now the bad bleeding takes priority. It doesn't matter what rate or consequence in which you came in. It means the triage mentality says, I've got to give the most to the most urgent need in front of me. Anyway, so I related this to my office administrator, and I said, you're magnificent. You give joy and love at such a beautiful level. But let me encourage you, as a pastor who's answered a lot of phone calls in a lot of days, you never know what the next call is going to be. And if you're not careful, and if you don't manage or build happy priorities for yourself, you may give yourself wholly to an emotional broken arm. And you may not have enough in your emotional tank for the next serious issue that may come along. And I recommended to her to pace, to give some happy boundaries for her giving, to never pull back love, but to see to it that her love tank was managed well, to give happy boundaries for yourself so you got plenty to give through a whole day. And she really understood that, and she commented how she's learned that in her life, that she can just give, and then at the end of the day, as a leader of her family, she'd find a tragedy or a challenging situation would come up, and she'd feel pretty exhausted because she had been giving all day to a lot of smaller things, and she learned that way that it's important to triage life, to see to it that you're always loving, that it's a priority. But I'm always building happy boundaries. Another part about happy boundaries means that when I find people, you know, my opening statement was, you know, love is not only my command, it's my reward. And if I really, really love, those receiving my love may or may not take that value into their life. So I have to learn that there are always going to be people who do not receive the value of my love well. In fact, they may see it as a negative. They may see it as a threat. They may see it as something they need to fight. So what I've learned in building happy boundaries is that I'm going to give everybody the benefit of my love always, never an exception. But I have to manage that in a way that I'm reminding myself when I'm loving some individuals, their priority has not always been to receive that love well. So I manage that in that knowledge, and then I walk forward recognizing that I've got a lot of love to give for a lot of people, and there will always be some who won't take that value deep into their life, and I cannot afford to just stand there and force my love to have a value in their life. If that's not received, if that love value is not taken in at any given time, then I have to learn to move on, to have a boundary that protects my ability to keep going in love, to sustain the priority of love in my life. To build a happy boundary means that if somebody has outright refused, rejected, and abused my love, well, then I'm going to still love them, but now it's going to be at a happy and safe distance. I will sustain my own heart in love so that I'm not in any way damaging my soul. I will keep love going, but I'll keep my love going at a distance so that when the time comes, if ever, that they receive my love will still be there. The decision to love that person will still be in place, even though I had to guard and protect the quantity and the quality of my love for someone who refused it. Boundaries are huge with love. Seriously, I should probably spend a whole couple of broadcasts actually on building boundaries as it relates to love. Love needs boundaries because, after all, we are human. And after all, love is one of those tender and beautiful qualities like a bouquet of flowers. You got to make sure it's well watered. You've got to make sure that you're treating it well so that it doesn't wilt and fail. So that's where love is. Love is very strong, but love is also quite tender. And it's also in need of our attention, so that if it's been abused, if our love has been rejected, if our love has been just beat up by somebody whose pain and misery is very evident, well, then I'm going to sustain my love by building boundaries. That might be a whole other subject for me to go after. And remember that when I redefine everything, that was our second priority of love. When I redefine everything and I find somebody who is abusing my love, well, I really am protecting my love by redefining it in the context that I've just loved somebody who doesn't know what to do with the genuine, vulnerable, authentic love that I just gave. And if they don't know what to do, there's nothing I can do to change that at any given moment except to continue my priority of love with a happy boundary. And hopefully someday, some way, somehow, they'll come back around and say, you know what? You've always loved me no matter how badly I treated you. All right, priorities of love. One is attention. Make sure you pay it. Number two is redefine everything by love. Number three is build happy boundaries. And number four, last but not least, is go where you don't want to go. You know, one of my favorite football coaches is Tom Landry. He was a childhood hero to me and a hero to me as a young man. His quote about this is this. I'll get it out. Just hang in there. Tom Landry said, "We should lead people where they don't want to go so they can be what they always wanted to be." Lead people where they don't want to go so they can be what they always wanted to be. That's what one of the credos that Tom Landry lived by as a real class act human being and NFL coach. Lead people where they don't want to go so they can be what they always wanted to be. So the challenge for each of us with love, live the priorities of love so you will go where you don't want to go. You know, sometimes we just don't want to love anymore. I'm just sick and tired of loving selfish people. I'm so weary of rude people. I'm so tired of people who do not receive the benefit of my love. Well, in order to go where you don't want to go, you've got to sustain the priority of love. Go where you don't want to go. Remembering boundaries, yes, I am not forgetting that. Remember your boundaries, but go where you don't want to go by being a more grand lover tomorrow than you were today. Never stop in the upward climb, the upward rising of love. See, I believe love is eternal. I am convinced that since love is God and God is love, those who dwell in love dwell in God, those who dwell in God dwell in love. I believe love is eternal. I believe that all of eternity will be the discovery of love, real love. All eternity is going to be about our swimming in and being able to just be awash in the majestic and the magnificence of love that's as grand and great as the universe. Love traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second in every direction. That will be eternity. And since love is eternal, it's going to take a whole lot of life and a whole lot of our attention to go where we don't want to go and find out what we never learned before, because love has the capacity to take us higher, to take us deeper, take us wider, to wash us of all of life's disappointments and pains. Love is that one quality that heals us as we obey its priority, its call to make us well, whole human beings. Holistic views are very popular today. Holistic diets, holistic exercise, holistic psychology, holistic spirituality. But I'm a person I'm promoting holistic love. Love for all things at all times in such a way that you are on this journey to go where you don't want to go. Sometimes going where you didn't know you needed to go. And that one of the benefits of just being alive is going sometimes, oh, I didn't know I needed to know this. Well, look at me. I'm learning something that I didn't even know I needed to learn. Well, that's today's broadcast on the priorities of love. This really has a lot of resonance for me today, and I hope it has a lot of resonance for you. I want to close, as we close every No BS Bishop broadcast, with the two things that I believe are vital, simple practices for life. And one is breathing, learning how to breathe deeply, to breathe rhythmically, to breathe with a real holistic view. To concentrate on your breaths as a means of taking a good breath in and giving a good exhale. So on the count of three, I want you to draw breath all the way to the bottom foundations of your lungs. I want you to hold it there for a few seconds, all right? One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it there. And exhale. You know, that I love doing that. I mean that not just here on this No BS Bishop broadcast, but I mean when I'm alone in the car, when I'm alone in life, when I'm going to bed at night, I like to just take myself into deep, rhythmic, healthy breaths. Deep in and a deep cleansing exhale. Do that. Give yourself a Sabbath once or twice or three or four or 100 times a day. Give yourself the Sabbath of breathing deeply. It'll lower your blood pressure and calm you down. And the second thing is, and if you've been here at all, you know I love to say it, let's make it weird. You know, give people the eye contact that most people don't get when you say, hey, I love you. And you don't have to make a big show of it, even though that moment will feel like a big show to some people, but you can say it and simply walk away. But I think it's important to say that to your family, to your spouse, to your siblings, to your mother, your father, making sure that those people that have been so important in your life get the benefit of you paying attention. Remember that? Pay attention and say, I love you. Make eye contact. Give them that three beats of those three charming, magical words. I love you. Here on the radio, you can't see my face, but you can hear my voice, and I want you to know I'm looking right at you now. I'm paying attention to whoever you are listening. I love you. Thanks for the honor of your time, for the privilege, the benefit that I receive from being able to love you, remembering that love isn't just the command. Love is also its own reward. You've rewarded me by giving me this half hour of allowing me to love you. Be sure to tune in every Saturday and Sunday to the No BS Bishop, and be sure to tell your friends. Pass the word around. With this, I think this is a great project, the study of love, the school of love, the counseling office of the No BS Bishop, Alive to Love. Thanks for being here today. Now go out and do something beautiful today, because baby, ugly has been done to death. God bless you all. Happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.